Welcome to The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. Good morning, I'm your host, Scott Harvey. On today's program, we'll address the controversial Keystone XL pipeline and the Obama administration's decision to deny the permit. And transportation was the topic of a meeting Monday in Hunt County as to how the county will move forward over the next two decades. We'll talk to officials with the Hunt County Transportation Planning Committee on what the plan entails. Those stories are coming up after we check out the week's headlines. You're listening to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
These days, people go to great lengths to shed the stress of daily life. There's acupuncture, deep tissue massage, meditation, yoga. But all things considered, we offer our own type of healing, invigorating news stories that span the spectrum of human experience. I'm Robert Siegel. Nourish your mind weekdays on All Things Considered from NPR News, Asylum from the Ordinary.
This afternoon, beginning at 3 on 88.9 KETR.
This is Sherry Gardner. Public radio listeners are lifelong learners from continuing ed to studying for advanced degrees. If your organization offers these opportunities, consider becoming a program sponsor on KETR. Our listeners could be your learners. Call 903-513-9684 for more information.
Welcome back to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR. Now, part of our program where we take you through the headlines from this week here in Northeast Texas. 52-year-old Thomas Taunton is behind bars after his arrest in Louisiana for the believed murders of three people. Harold and Sue Harpst and their daughter went missing from their Leonard residence Sunday. Officials say they found no one inside the home, but foul play was detected. A manhunt was underway early Friday morning for an alleged car thief who led authorities on a chase beginning near Lone Oak. The suspect bailed out at the 89-mile marker of Interstate 30 and then fled on foot. The man was still at large upon last check. A deadly motor vehicle accident has led to a guilty plea by 50-year-old Milton Baker Jr. of Paris for intoxication manslaughter. The wreck last September killed 56-year-old Clemmy Yates Brown. Baker was given 40 years behind bars. Greenville police were searching this week for a would-be kidnapper described as a white male in his 30s with facial hair. The suspect reportedly tried to abduct a 14-year-old Greenville student who had just exited the bus and was heading home. The girl was able to escape the man's grasp and run away. Van Zandt County Commissioner Ricky LaPrade avoids jail time but must resign from office after being found guilty of misapplication of fiduciary property. He was sentenced to 4 years probation in connection with an April 14th arrest. A Monday evening motorcycle wreck in Collin County took the life of Ladonia resident Jennifer Chenault and her boyfriend Ryan Lorenz of Anna. Police say Lorenz reportedly lost control of his bike at around 8 p.m. that evening while taking a sharp turn on westbound 455 west of Anna. 52-year-old Terry Yankee is in custody after reportedly firing several live rounds at officers during a standoff Monday night in Sulphur Springs. Yankee would eventually surrender after tear gas was fired into his home. He's been charged with two counts of aggravated assault of a peace officer. Litigation will continue in the City of Commerce lawsuit against its mayor, Quay Throgmorton. Following executive session Tuesday night, the council took no action on the suit, which took a turn in December after the Throgmortons filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy protection. Engineers found no distress in the concrete framing of Whitley Hall at A&M Commerce a day after a section of brick veneer detached from the east side of the building's 12th floor. No injuries or damage was reported after dozens of bricks came crashing down on Sunday night. Repairs to the brick veneer are planned. Leonard Gerner served 27 years as a teacher and coach at Bonham ISD, and on Tuesday, district officials dedicated the high school gym in his honor. Gerner's career included a stint as principal and coach of four different sports. He's a member of the Fannin County Sports Hall of Fame. Over 100 people and organizations were recognized in award ceremonies both Sunday and Monday in honor of the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Former Commerce Mayor Ivory Moore was presented with the Legacy of King Award in Hunt County, and W.C. Pryor received that same award for Hopkins County, and we have the complete list of recipients at our website. The Sulphur Springs ISD is the winner of a playground equipment grant through the Clorox Power a Bright Future campaign after receiving well over 100,000 votes from the community. A $50,000 grant will go now toward the installation of playground equipment for third and fourth grade students. And the Commerce Community Plaza will hold its grand opening on Monday to commemorate the more than two-year effort to provide English as second language classes to Hispanic families. Dignitaries from the Mexican Consulate in Dallas will be among the participants. Just some of the news-making headlines this week in Northeast Texas. Of course, more information on each one of those stories at our website, ketr.org. Coming up next, a conversation with Eddie Radillo of the environmental group Stop Tar Sands Oil Pipeline, who offers his reaction to this week's decision by the Obama administration to deny the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline. That's next. This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Everyone has a favorite author, actor, musician, or comedian. At All Things Considered, we don't just bring you the news of the day. We introduce you to the coolest people you thought you knew and learn what really makes them tick. What you hear might just surprise you. I'm Robert Siegel. Join us every afternoon for All Things Considered from NPR News. Conversations that connect.
This afternoon, beginning at 3 on 88.9 KETR.
I'm not sure who it was that decided Texas music is supposed to be strictly country or Western, but man, I wish that person would join me for Notably Texan, a three-hour tour of all the music of the Lone Star State. Rock, funk, jazz, blues, if it's produced here in Texas, it's played on Notably Texan. I'm Matt Minky, inviting you to enjoy the music of Texas tonight at 6 during Notably Texan. Your station, 88.9 KETR.
This is the sound of a flat-screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR. On Wednesday, President Obama rejected an application to build the 1,700-mile Keystone XL pipeline from Canada to the U.S. Gulf Coast. He blamed congressional Republicans, who had set a 60-day deadline for his administration to complete its review of the project. Republican members of Congress quickly responded, stating that the denial will in turn deny Americans jobs and energy security. Those same sentiments have since been expressed from numerous officials in Texas, a state included along the proposed pipeline route. Here in our listening region, a number of counties will be impacted by the development of the Keystone Pipeline, which, according to the proposed map by TransCanada, would run through Lamar, Delta, Hopkins, Titus, Wood, and Smith counties and beyond. A local environmental group called STOP, or Stop Tar Sands Oil Pipeline, has been adamantly opposed to the project for years. According to their website, the diverse group of people and landowners are concerned over safety and health, water contamination, eminent domain abuse, and serious increases of air pollution at the refineries should a pipeline be constructed. And following the president's decision this week, I had a chance to speak with STOP member Eddie Radillo on him and his group's reaction to the announcement.
We're very happy that he has denied the permit to cross the border from Canada into the United States, but our fight still continues because TransCanada will continue to try to get a pipeline through from Cushing, Oklahoma to our refineries here in the southern part of Texas, which would further pollute even more so with carbon emissions from the tar sands, which increases more than our conventional oil does, only to refine this product in a tax-free zone where they don't even have to pay taxes to us at the Valero refineries, and then ship this refined product off to China, who will share the product with North Korea.
Eddie, what are the rest of your group members saying about Wednesday's decision?
The rest of our group are saying that, it's almost like a three-prong fight for us. We are attacking the safety issues. Recently, a civil engineer has blown the whistle on TransCanada, saying that it was shoddy work on the Keystone 1 pipeline, which caused the 14 leaks to date, one of them which shut down the Keystone 1, endangering human life and wildlife. And that is available on the Internet. It's also available on our StopTarSands.org website. Then we have the environmental issue. Anyone can go to see what happened to the Kalamazoo River, where 40 miles of the Kalamazoo River is still being cleaned up and has cost $700 million to date, which has affected agriculture, the wetlands, wildlife, and businesses. Everyone wants to talk about the jobs that this pipeline would create. However, how about the jobs that it has taken away from the businesses that are along pipeline spills such as those? And the eminent domain issue, where there's land grabs from a foreign company that, in fact, there is no benefit from us that in our energy use from this tar sands product, which is intended, again, and destined to go to Asian countries such as communist-ruled country China and its neighbor North Korea.
Eddie, it's being said that the Obama administration had to reject the pipeline after Congress imposed a 60-day deadline, which they say wasn't enough time to conduct an informed review. Now, had they had more time to review this possible pipeline, could the decision have been different?
I think that the in answer to your question, we don't know in the long run, because the State Department was not given the opportunity for the process that exists. And thank God we have a State Department. Thank God we live in a country that has a process such as that. We have no idea what the final determination would have been had President Obama been given a longer time. But we do know this. We do know for the last 3 years, we have been able to expose the truth and the destination of this product, and that it was never intended for our energy independence or for our use to begin with, and that the jobs were inflated, something like 20,000, when in reality it would have been 5,000, much of those jobs just temporary.
Yes, jobs a big factor, according to a lot of Republicans who have issued statements here in regards to Obama's rejection of the pipeline. U.S. Senator John Cornyn of Texas said this would do nothing but extend the jobs crisis. You disagree?
Of course I disagree. Both Senator Cornyn and especially Senator Hutchison have put remarks on the Senate floor indicating about how this product would have put our 26 refineries in the Golden Triangle for the oil field refinery workers to work 24/7 in our refineries. To begin with, there's only three or four refineries which is in Valero tax-free zone that can even refine this product, and our refineries are already working 24/7. If that wasn't true, we wouldn't already have a glut in Cushing, Oklahoma, from other types of oil that come into Cushing, where they are building extra storage tanks to continue to hold this additional oil that we have a glut in. We are not as dependent on other oil resources as we were before. We are now drilling in the Gulf again. We have our oil that is coming from Alaska and especially North Dakota. So we have way more oil, and this has happened within the last 3 years, that didn't exist before, that lessens the so-called wanting of this tar sands oil, which was never intended to us to begin with. It even says in the environmental report from the State Department that TransCanada had no say-so where this oil was going to go after it reached the refineries, because they could not determine the final destination. And we have found out from the history from 2005 with the communist Chinese purchases of the tar sands pits up there in Canada that this was intended for them all along, and we have just been lied to all along by our representatives here in Texas.
Eddie, we've seen a lot of environmental groups come forward over the last several months and year in opposition of this pipeline. They're becoming increasingly more vocal. Your response on the impact that has had?
I think that it has been great. We feel victorious that, in fact, that it has, that our multi-partisan, and I want to repeat, it is a multi-partisan group, that we feel great that this permit has been denied for them to cross the border. Also, many of us have spent monies out of our own funds to fight this, whereas the representatives who are backed by a lobbyist, and what really gets me, Scott, is the Chamber of Commerce, who was the big backer of this pipeline, their computers were broken into by the Chinese, who stole all their plans and went through their network and stole a bunch of plans, yet they still want to encourage the support of this pipeline. It just goes to show what this money can do and what this greed can do to our representatives. We need to change these people out and put them with people that are concerned about our livelihoods and our future generations.
What do you see of the challenges for your stop group moving forward? Because you said there's still the opportunity for a pipeline to run through East Texas and down to the Gulf Coast. What are some of the main challenges that your group's going to focus on in the coming months and years?
As I stated before, education, when people are educated, as we are doing, when people hear that this product was intended to go to China from day one, you will be extremely surprised how many people tell me, hey, wait a minute, I don't want that to happen. I remember the Vietnam War. I remember the Korean War. I remember World War II, and I remember the Chinese were our enemy, okay? And they are enabling to send this product to China will enable them to grow in their military strength where this product will go first. People need to go to our website. They need to see the information about the aircraft carrier that the communist Chinese are building right now. They're gobbling up resources all over the world rather than to use their own resources, rather than to pollute their own country with their refineries. They would rather abuse our country for their purpose. So education is a key factor here. That is why we put the truth on the StopTarZan.org website, and anybody could go in there and learn and educate themselves on this and join us in our fight against the tar sands pipeline.
Okay, Eddie Rudeal.
And water safety, I might add that too. We are sitting in the Carrizo Wilcox Aquifer, and Dallas depends on this reservoir for their water here at Lake Fork, Texas, okay, as well.
Okay, Eddie Rudeal, I appreciate you taking the time.
Scott Harvey, I want to thank you so much for interviewing me this morning, and I ask everybody to join us in our quest to stop the tar sands coming through and getting to our refineries here in Texas.
And wanted to take the time now to read a statement from Texas Agriculture Commissioner Todd Staples in response to President Barack Obama's denial of the Keystone XL pipeline permit. You just heard from Eddie Rudeal, his group opposed to the project, Commissioner Todd Staples for the project, and he had this to say. Quote, through responsible pipeline development, we can protect private property owners' rights, protect the environment, and provide the energy resources our nation desperately needs. At a time when we need private sector investment and hiring in our country, our president is closing the doors of opportunity. Texas farmers and ranchers also will suffer from this unreasonable decision as agriculture producers depend on low-cost energy to be competitive. Staples went on to say, this policy fails Texas, the United States, and our neighbors in Canada. Furthermore, this decision increases our dependence on energy from an increasingly unstable part of the world, end quote. Again, those comments released this week from Texas Agriculture Commissioner Todd Staples regarding President Obama's decision to deny the Keystone Pipeline permit. And I want to once again thank Eddie Rudeal, our guest of the group Stop or Stop Tar Sands Oil Pipeline. When we return here on The Lead, what does Hunt County have up its sleeve as part of a transportation initiative that spans the next two decades? More on transportation in a moment. This is your station, 88.9 KETR.
It doesn't take long to notice that KETR is quite different from the others along the radio dial. Smart programming, diverse voices, intriguing opinions, and no commercials. Those are just a few of the reasons you've made 88.9 your choice for listening. We need to remind you that listener support is vital to our existence. We're asking you to dig deep and help us cover the costs of running a great public radio station. Make a pledge right now at ketr.org/support. And thanks.
Welcome back to The Lead. Over the past year, Hunt County officials, in conjunction with the North Central Texas Council of Governments, have been working to draft a transportation plan that will guide the county for the next couple of decades. Earlier this week, the Hunt County Transportation Planning Committee presented that plan before community members in Greenville in the first of two public forums, with the second coming later this month. In December, A&M Commerce President and Committee Co-Chair Dr. Dan Jones discussed the plan's progress during the monthly installment of The President's Perspective. He was joined by host Jared Knight and local businessman and fellow committee co-chair Dee Hilton.
The project was started really once Hunt County joined the Metropolitan Planning Organization, and that is an organization that is part of the North Central Texas Council of Governments, which is headquartered in Arlington and includes 12 counties in the Metroplex, including Dallas and Tarrant County and Collin County and Denton County, which real high growth, high population areas. North Central Texas Council of Governments has responsibility for various kinds of planning, including transportation, and has a division called the Regional Transportation Commission, RTC, which actually oversees the spending of federal funds that flow into now this 12-county area. Mm-hmm. So once Hunt County joined the Metropolitan Planning Organization, one of the first things that was requested was that we have a comprehensive transportation plan. That was a request from local people in right. Hunt County, but the North Texas COG was more than willing to support that effort, and they've done so over this last year using their staff to do this. I think if you and I were doing this, we'd probably still be out doing some research.
So. Oh, yeah, for a long time.
But these people are professionals. They've done it for many of the counties in the 12-county area, and I'm real excited about the plan that we're going to have.
Hunt County came into to the Metropolitan Planning Organization, as I recall, in October of 2009. Is that correct?
I believe that's right.
About a little over 2 years ago. So we're now officially part of the Metroplex, Jared. I know we've kind of felt like we're in one of the outer planetary orbits, but
It's good to be anchored in that direction, I
right.
think, because there's a lot of population in that direction, but too, I guess there's a lot of example to draw from.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think one of the main things is the fact that that's where the growth is taking place.
Exactly.
To our west and contiguous to Hunt County, the growth is taking place in Rockwall, Dallas, Collin. And it's going to spill over. And I think the choice that we have is, do we want to be ready for the growth, or do we just want to let it come and then scramble at the last minute to try to provide transportation venues for right. people to circulate and move back and forth? And that growth will move east. And for people in Hopkins County and Delta County and others, as it comes out of and through Hunt County, it'll move on to the east and to the north.
And the growth is inevitable. I guess the timing is the question. But as Dee just said, it's important to be ready for it. We're either going to be ready or we're going to get run over by it. And,
and
transportation infrastructure is really key to so many other things. And let me just amplify a little bit on something that Dee said about the assistance that Hunt County is getting from the North Central Texas Council of Governments. When you talk about the North Central or any Council of Governments, you know, those are kind of under the radar organizations. You know, they're not in the newspaper all that often, but I've been very impressed with the scope of their staff and the depth of their expertise. I mean, it's a pretty amazing group of people that works on these kinds of issues, and they have brought that expertise to bear here in Hunt County. Dee, could you tell us a little bit about, we do have a draft plan now, which we're reviewing. Could you talk a little bit about the different pieces of the plan? Of course, when we talk about transportation, everybody thinks of highways, and of course that's part of it, but there's a lot more to it as well.
That's correct. The effort really has been centered around combination of roads, rail, pedestrian, and bikes primarily. And rail, which from a passenger standpoint is probably many, many years in the future, but now's the time to plan for it, because if you don't reserve rail while it currently exists, you'll never be able to get it back.
Right.
Because
right.
getting the right-of-way to build rail would be very difficult, particularly in a developing urban-type environment. So it's really important to preserve the rail and begin to plan for that, as well as the continuation of good freight, hauling goods and things into the area, through the area. We've looked probably most at roads, and there's multiple layers of that. They're the major roads that you referenced, mm-hmm. the U.S. and state highways, as well as the Interstate 30. One of the most important things then are the connector roads that connect to those and move people from the various communities in Hunt County to the other communities and the other towns, as well as to the major thoroughfare-type roads. This plan in and of itself is not doing a lot of planning within cities, mm-hmm. Other than as the major thoroughfares traverse those cities. But that will be one section. As I mentioned, the rail will be another section, and then pedestrian and bike circulation will be third section. And I know that the University and Commerce mm-hmm. have worked together to try to affect better circulation within the city of Commerce.
Right.
So that students are not bound to the campus, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so that's exciting. In the Greenville area, there are several things underway, initiatives underway to try to look at bike lanes and take some abandoned rail right away even and, mm-hmm. and make some bike trails, much like the Katy Trail has been done over in the over in Dallas. So that's exciting because it's, we'd all love to see the campus have, a little bit of a New England feel.
Right.
People
right.
kind of, could walk from the campus downtown or
sure.
or wherever. And we'd like to create that in anywhere in the county that we could. So that's a major part of it, as well as just roads and streets and potentially rail.
Mm-hmm.
And I might mention, I hope I live long enough to see it, but but I'd love to see people be able to get on the train in Commerce or Greenville and go to DFW Airport.
Oh, wouldn't that be,
that'd
be tremendous?
Yeah, with some frequency by rail. And for those who have traveled by rail, it's a great way to travel if there's enough frequency. And you sure make better use of your time generally
sure.
than you do driving. So that's a great opportunity that is certainly included in the plan.
I'm picturing this giant map the size of a building with intricate, little lines going. Is mm-hmm. this? I mean, I know that that you guys both you've got these books that are so very thick.
Yeah.
But are these giant maps folded up into this book? I mean, this is what it would be predominantly, is looking at these maps and drawing the new line and saying this is where this trail is going to be for transportation, whether it's rail or bike trail or whatever it happens to be.
Well, and that is a big part of the process, and it's not just one map. In fact, I haven't counted, but there's many, many maps included in the draft study, and each one shows something different. We went through an exercise during this process where we, stuck dots on a map, and the color of the dot indicated like a trouble spot or a place of concern,
right.
congestion, or I know there are maps in here that show incidents and a frequency of
accidents.
Right. And then there are maps that show proposed concepts. There are three different concepts that might guide transportation planning. So it's a very, very detailed process.
One of the things you have to do is, Hunt County is like most rural counties, has a lot of country roads or
right.
county
sure.
roads, as we call them, that are maintained by the county. Those roads provide right-of-way, or at least part of the right-of-way, that might be needed in the event that that particular area needed improved transportation.
Sure.
So a lot of the planning that has gone into this has been to look at some of those existing right-of-way areas and how they might be expanded to take care of future growth.
Mm-hmm. Hunt County has a lot to work with. We were talking about rail a minute ago, and there's a lot of railroad right-of-way in this county. It tends to be... it's not all in very good shape, and some of it is underutilized or not utilized, but that's an asset that can be leveraged as we move forward with the plan.
A&M Commerce President Dan Jones and local businessman Dee Hilton, co-chairs of the Hunt County Transportation Planning Committee, speaking about their draft plan on a recent edition of the President's Perspective. The first of two public meetings was conducted Monday in Greenville, with the second coming Monday, January 30th at 6 p.m. from the A&M Commerce Alumni Center. And due to time constraints, that's all the time we have for you today here on The Lead. We want to thank our guest, Eddie Radio of the environmental group Stop Tar Sands Oil Pipeline. And of course, you just heard from Dee Hilton and Dr. Dan Jones about the Hunt County Transportation Plan. Our thanks to Jared Knight, who conducted that interview on a recent edition of The President's Perspective. Archives of this show can be found at our website, ketr.org. Stay tuned for Texas Matters. This has been The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas on your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm your host, Scott Harvey. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.